Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Sam Amick from The Athletic, and you can listen to me, Fred Katz, and Anthony Slater break down the inside story of what is happening in the NBA. Latest news, trades, signings, all of the above. Latest action on the floor. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Athletic NBA Show and listen to Tampering every Tuesday.
Oh, my God. What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday, on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Who's their best young talent? Nick Claxton? We got Kevin Knox, bitch.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah,
yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, got Trevon Edwards, got Wasby Lambre, got Jay King today. Jade Hoy is producing. And gentlemen, we're giving out money once again and then turning our heads because Drew Holiday gets a massive extension, a max extension, some might say, with the Milwaukee Bucks. 4 years, $160 million. It can be up to $160 million. We're talking 40 a year, if you did that math correctly, for Drew Holiday, who turns 31 in June. Obviously, with the Bucks, it's all about getting Giannis to re-sign the max extension, which they did, right? Supermax extension gets signed before the season. And then they had Chris Middleton on a big deal. They now have Giannis on a big deal. And they had acquired Drew Holiday to convince Giannis, hey, you should stay here. We're trying to win a championship with you. And it worked. He re-signed. And now, after this extension to Drew, look, it's not like they were going to have much flexibility in the first place with this roster in terms of the money already out to Middleton and Giannis. But now, the lack of flexibility moving forward is going to be something that they have to be aware of. Now, if this team is good enough to win a championship, which I think talent-wise, you can look at that big three of Giannis, of Middleton, and of Drew and say, yeah, I can see that winning a championship. They're good enough. Wow, so they just got to get Mike Budenholzer to figure out how to make that work in the playoffs. But Waz, where are you on this Drew Holiday? Like, that's a lot of money for a dude on the other side of 30, but he's good. He's really good.
No, it's look, they gave up all that they gave up in the offseason. A lot of people snickered. I don't want to say I snickered, but I was like, I mean, you know, all
I'll
that
say
for
it,
Drew
did.
Holiday.
I'll say you did. You don't want to say it, but I'll say
it. All of that for Drew Holiday. But, you know, when the deal happened and the guy's on a one-year contract, it's kind of with the implicit understanding they're going to resign him. You can't give up all of that and not have him in your building going forward. So we knew they were going to extend the guy. But my Lord.
Well, Waz, you're right. Like, they gave up Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, the pick that ended up being the rights to RJ Hampton. The Pelicans have the option to pick swap in 2024. They gave up their 2025 first round pick. Yeah. Pelicans have the option to pick swap in 2026. And they gave up their 2027 first round pick to the Pelicans. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, they did get the rights to Sam Merrill. I don't know if you remembered that. If that
is
helps
he related
you.
To Maryland?
No. Probably. Yeah, why not? No. Well, I mean, they're going to need it with all this money going to Drew Middleton and Giannis. Like.
Listen, look, I think Drew Holiday is a really good player. Like, he's going to help them win playoff games this year, which, you know, some people might say, well, that's all you can ask. But, like, is Drew Holiday, and I know this is a freaking hacky-ass way to put it, but is he the second-best player on a championship team? No.
Is he the second best player on this team, though?
No. So, your third best player is making 40 mil, and it's Milwaukee, so I get it, but whatever.
I disagree.
On which part? On
don't
all?
Do your LA on, thing on him either, being Trey. On. Don't do your LA homerism either, Trey. I know you're about to do it.
Nah, because he's not because he's LA County, bro. Like he's not in the cream of the crop, bro. But yeah, respect him, bro. Shout out to the Holidays. The real.
I think he's from Studio City.
Yeah, he's off deck though. We
hey man,
we
that's LA County.
We ain't overclaiming
him. Claim him.
Nah, we ain't overclaiming that though.
What?
Nah. He's hard though. He got game. Shout out to the Holidays though, because they really doing it. Three active guys on the roster. See, that's no shot to the balls, but I like it because for one, the defense don't get static, and the pressure that he put. And, like, who wants to come? It's kind of similar to Utah. Like, who want to come to Milwaukee? It's not too many players that just want to come there and just be there. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, he wanted a franchise that he could commit to. He loves Milwaukee, loves the staff, loves playing for Bud. Has created a relationship with Chris and Giannis and the rest of the guys. He will get a chance. You know what I mean? In New Orleans, I think he was just wasting his talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, they going in a different direction. And now he gets a chance to at least be in the conversation of, you know, peak maybe Eastern Conference Finals, or maybe they make the jump. I don't know. He's only 30 years old. Again, coming off this deal, he'd be 34. We've written off way more players than this, and I think he's still in good shape, bro. He has a lot of basketball. He played exceptionally well against the Lakers, even though obviously LeBron wasn't playing and not that nature, but. He's been hooping, dog. Like, and I think he's always been one of those type of players that's just kind of been under the radar. Doesn't really solely focus on all stars and none of that. I just really roll with him. And then, you know, like I mentioned, he'll be 34 in June of the end of that deal. So I think they won that trade overall, because if he didn't want to be there and it was a rental, it'd be laughing stock. I mean, Giannis would just have to just pack it in on that one. So overall, I mean, I think they made the right move overall.
Yeah, I think the Bucks had to do this. Once you trade all that for Jrue Holiday, you have to re-sign him, and you have to make this move.
But it's like a hostage situation, like when they're holding your kid with a knife to
hostages
to
don't get $160 million, Waz. What are you talking
they
about?
Held themselves hostage.
The Bucks are the hostage.
They held themselves hostage.
They sent a ransom note to themselves.
But I think not the hidden aspect of this, but I think – part of this is Mike Budenholzer has a lot of pressure now, because the three top guys are all locked up for years. They're not going to be able to change much to this core. They'll be able to tweak the supporting cast, whatever. But it's Giannis, it's Middleton, and it's Holiday now. And if Budenholzer can't get it right, and he hasn't gotten it right the last 2 years in the playoffs, then that's the obvious piece to change. To try to chase after a championship if you can't make the playoff run that you want this year, next year, whenever. And so I think there's been a lot of pressure on him since they flamed out in the second round. But this deal, to me, puts even more of a target on Budenholzer. And I think, has he shown much in the playoffs? No, dating back to Atlanta. He's got to change. I think he has the roster now where they're flexible. They can be flexible.
J. King, hold on. You just put in a memorandum on Budenholzer. It's over. If you don't do it, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I'm with Jay. Like, what are we doing? Like, they have shat themselves two straight years in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once it was to a Kawhi and a Raptors team that was. Now. Started rolling. The Heat thing and just getting
no Jay, no, you're gonna give them some damn respect, okay? Because I tried to warn you still for months.
Still won't do
this
it.
This was gonna happen.
I'm still slandering the Heat. Oh my God. but I just feel like
Trevor Ariza, baby.
They're built to be flexible, at least defensively. Like, this is not a team where you have to play drop coverage anymore. The PJ Tucker acquisition changed things. The Jrue Holiday acquisition changed things. They can be flexible. They can be versatile if Budenholzer is. And so now there's just a lot on Budenholzer's plate. I feel like if he doesn't fix this puzzle, then it's goodbye, Mike.
I have a huge issue with something Trey said. This high school is 6 minutes from my house. This is L.A. County. Just because it's on the other side of the hills doesn't mean it's not L.A. County.
Where'd he go again?
He went to Campbell Hall. According to Wikipedia.
Campbell, come on, bro. Come on. They don't play in a city or CIA.
Hold on. Let me ask you, Trey. Spencer Dinwiddie went to Taft, so he was over the hill, but he's Valley from the, he's okay.
But he's from the city though. I mean, like, you can go to the school, but I know.
Okay.
Here's what I'll say. I think people were afraid to go over the hill to play Drew Holiday. They were worried he was going to eat their lunch.
Well, you know what, though? You know who also went to Taft? Jordan Farmer.
Oh, wow.
You know who also was out in the Taft? Nick Young. I mean, wow. Out there in the Valley.
Sounds like a couple champions to me.
What's his name went there, too? Steve Smith, the football player.
Yeah. Yep. He was nice.
But fighting Steve Smith? Wide receiver?
No. It was another USC Steve Smith.
So hold on. So Drew Holiday grew up in Los Angeles. He went to UCLA and you still don't claim him?
This is wild. No. It's crazy. No. You know, here's the thing. People do claim him, right? I'm just talking about inner city. It's not inner city. It's inner city versus like LA County. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not separating it because
the burbs.
There you go. Thank you.
But, because okay. So, for instance,
that's like us trying to claim Kawhi. He's from Inland Empire.
No. Come on. Don't do that.
No. Inland Empire is like fucking 3 hours away, okay?
I said that's like us trying to claim him. We wouldn't. We can't.
Hold on. No. Here's the difference. So, Ben Gordon, he's from Mount V. But I have to claim him.
He's still New York, baby.
Because y'all don't have nobody. Y'all don't have enough.
I love the word choice there. You have to. Y'all don't have enough,
bro. It's not like y'all just gathered a bunch of pros, bro. Let's be honest. If we group up. So here's the thing. How about this? Let me reword this. If we say he's from Southern California, boom. There you go.
Because when I think Southern California, I think of San Diego. I'm just like, yeah. If somebody says California instead of LA, I know you already you're in
or Anaheim.
San Diego.
If you do Southern California, then yeah, we got Southern California is basically a state compared to other states.
In Waz's mind, there are three things, right? You have to die, you have to pay taxes, and you have to claim Ben Gordon as a New Yorker.
You have to. You have to.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are the Bucks to regret the final 2 years of this contract?
I don't think they're likely to regret it.
Is 10 as in the worst?
The Bucks don't get
to regret it. They're the Bucks. They don't get to regret it. Exactly. It's a three. They don't get to regret even just having a Drew Holiday. You don't get to regret it.
Yeah. Jay?
You get to be thankful. You barely draft a Giannis. Blessed you.
They won't regret it at all.
You barely draft a Giannis, dog.
Whatever happens from here, like that trade convinced Giannis to stay.
Yeah.
After the trade, you have to ink Drew Holiday. So they made their bet before. And I'm not sure the last 2 years of the deal will be good. Like, there's a chance Drew Holiday, as he ages, won't be great, because I think a lot of his game is predicated on being athletic enough to guard you and being athletic enough to get to the rim.
Man, he's strong like as fuck, though. He is so strong.
Yeah. He's just an ox, man. But especially for a point guard, it's ridiculous how strong he is. But like, I don't think there's any room for regret because of all the good that's already come from it with the Giannis deal. Like, Their franchise was in a place where they weren't sure Giannis was going to stay. And in my mind, at least, I mean, I'm not sure exactly the reasoning behind it, but that trade had to convince him or help convince him that Milwaukee was a place for him.
So scale 1 to 10, put a number on it, Jay.
I got one. There will be no regrets, man.
I was a one as well. I was hoping you would also say a two or a three, and I could just call you guys haters because it's a one.
Actually, 1 through 3 is kind of like still in the same range.
I don't hate the deal. And they're not going to hate the deal. You can't hate the deal.
Speaking of deals, you can't hate.
The owners could get a little iffy, though. Like, when they're paying extreme tax prices for a team that flames out.
Crazy, man.
I'm raising my potential regret to 4.
Isn't Edens or whatever his name is a hedge fund guy?
Aren't they all hedge funds?
Yeah, they're all hedge funds.
No mercy. Make them bleed.
Can I read this statement, though?
Yeah, go for it.
Read it.
All right. We are grateful for the time we've been able to spend learning about the Bucks organization, our team, and the greater Milwaukee community. We appreciate how John, Coach Bud, and the entire staff, along with our teammates and fans, have supported us since the trade to Milwaukee. We have a special group that wants to put in the work and compete for a championship every year. We look forward to working closely with our fans and the community, as well as continue to provide for the opportunities and resources with our JLH fund throughout Milwaukee. We're incredibly blessed to stay here, and we believe Milwaukee will be home for our family for many years to come. So it's similar to the Mike Conley Utah stuff.
Written like a true LA guy.
That's a valley, baby.
That's definitely not an LA guy, because he's going to groan. He going for, first of all, you know the LA guys. We're going to go for Miami, New York, Houston, Toronto. Facts, you know what I'm saying? Facts. We ain't talking. First of all, LA dudes might not even be married.
That's for sure. Or if they are, they won't let you know about it.
You know, see, our Instagram's going to look like Paul Pierce's, boy.
Uh-oh. Yo. All right, hold on. I do want to get to some other things, but this Paul Pierce Instagram was something to wake up to yesterday. I guess Saturday when you listen to this.
Yo, you work for Disney, bro.
Oh, my God. What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Seems like Disney works for him. You know what I mean?
The best part was he got up the next morning and just tweeted, "Good morning." Like the whole world, whole world was going wild over everything that happened on his Instagram, and we've been just to tweeted out, "Good morning." That's
we've been
it.
To turkeys, you know, before.
Listen, you know what's crazy? LA's been wanting Paul to be like that for 20 years.
That Paul is an LA dude. I'll give you that. Paul is definitely an LA dude.
But look how long it took to expose that to all right, you really. I think they did the get out in Boston as soon as he got drafted. They just did get out, bro. He didn't get a chance to be him real self, dog.
He was Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah, he was just out there just trapped, bro. They put that green jersey on and trapped him, bro, and brainwashed him.
They brought KG in. He tried to bring it out of him. He couldn't do it.
He couldn't bring it out of him, bro. Look at him. That's why they call him the truth. That's why, that video. He ain't the truth right there, bro.
What's the call? Monica, you should be here. You could make some money, girl. Stop playing. Monica, what you doing?
You guys throw some fucking chips, man.
Oh, it was funny. There were a couple things where people like, because he'd also, I think, either posted or tweeted or something about how like it was his kid's 8th birthday, right? His kid turned 8. And they're like, "Your kid turned 8? What are you doing?" I was like, "That seems like kid went to bed, right? Kid went to bed, you go, you have a party in some other part of the house or a different house altogether. Why can't he celebrate in his own way after the kid's asleep?" I'm guessing the kid wasn't the one throwing poker chips at him, right?
Oh, my God. Listen, Jay,
everybody
that
celebrates
clip.
Their kid's 8th birthday with strippers. That's normal. And listen, guys, for those of you listening, it's a black thing. You wouldn't understand it.
Yeah. Don't I know it?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don't I know it is
all right, let's go to the couple of 10-day deals for former teammates. So we get a 10-day with Isaiah Thomas going to the New Orleans Pelicans for 10 days, going to wear number 24 in honor of Kobe. And we get DeMarcus Cousins is heading to L.A. to play for the other L.A. team, the Clippers, on a 10-day. And both those guys have been ravaged by injuries over the years, right? Isaiah's hip injury, obviously a massive, massive blow to his career, cost him hundreds of millions of dollars at least. Trey, is this his fourth time trying to get back since that injury?
Yeah.
I think so, right?
I mean, yeah. As far as getting signed though, I think it was just the Wizards.
Just the Wizards, yeah.
And now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he got traded to the Clippers and then waived, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the Cavs, the Lakers, the Clippers, you know, but he's played for previous teams before. I'm just excited for him, man. He looked really good out in Seattle. Him and Jamal have been playing. And then he got a chance to play in, you know, the USA basketball situation. So, you know, just him getting another opportunity and you know, being pro about it. You know, he ain't out here crying, saying that he deserved to be on a team and all that. He just putting the work in quietly. And, you know, they gave him a look. So, you know how 10 days work. Sometimes you might get a look, you might not. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, great story. You know, he's wearing number 24 in honor of Kobe Bryant. So I think that should be a shining moment. But I hope that he can, you know, he can stick on the roster because, I mean, he's a good dude.
As someone who covered the peak of his career, I will always root for Isaiah Thomas because, like, when he got to the Celtics, he was a sixth man. And he just always had this, like, incredible belief in himself and then became the All-Star, became the All-NBA guy, was fifth in MVP voting. Like, that playoff, the last playoff run he was with Boston, like, his sister passed away the day before the playoffs started, literally the day before the playoffs started.
And to watch, still didn't extend him.
And he was dealing with the hip injury. Like, that playoff run, he was getting treatment on his hip. He had to go to the hospital because his tooth got knocked out. His sister, he had 53 points on the day that would have been his sister's birthday in an overtime playoff game against the Wizards. It was like one of the most incredible things you could ever cover just because of all he was persevering through. And so to see how the last few years have gone has been like just so unfortunate. And to see him kind of grind his way back and get the hip surgery and keep putting in the work behind the scenes when so much has gone wrong for him. And, you know, he was looking at like a $150 million contract, something like that, something in the Drew Holiday territory.
Easily. Yeah.
And so now to be grinding just to get a 10-day contract, it just speaks a lot about what made him so great in the first place. Just
how
the fact
Danny
that
Danny Ainge do that, Jay King? How do you look Danny Ainge in the eye?
I mean,
after he violated Isaiah Thomas like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, but Isaiah has said afterward that he wouldn't have stopped playing with the hip no matter what. You know, after his sister passed away, that was like his outlet. And so he wouldn't have even changed that run. And then after he is injured and you got a chance to go trade for Kyrie, it's like you have to do that, right? Like,
especially when you get to blame him for your sucky ass team 2 years later, you have to do it.
You have to.
Like, you have to do that. You have to build in that freaking excuse making machine there in Boston. You have to. It's always excuses.
You trade for an all-star and a GOAT, and not like the greatest of all time, but like a scapegoat.
Yeah,
at the same time. But seriously, like Isaiah. I'll never cover anything as inspirational as that just because of everything he was going through and still like reaching new heights in his career at the same time. It was just incredible.
Well, now hold on, Jay. You say you'll never cover anything as inspiring as that, but Peyton Pritchard is just a rookie. Okay. We got time to.
It's early. But
I'm telling you, man, like
two P's, the other two P's from Boston.
I'm telling you, man, though, that was like, the day the Celtics started the playoffs, the locker room was like him literally like crying before the game, and players like just silent because they loved him and they didn't know how to react to him. And then to see him take that team to the Eastern Conference Finals anyway, it was like that was just showed everything about him. But nothing could keep him down, and so I hope that he's able to parlay this into something greater because, like, really, I've seen him up front do some stuff that was just – that playoff run was just incredibly special.
The other 10-day signing, DeMarcus Cousins, also has missed out on probably hundreds of millions of dollars due to some injuries, blown out his knee, blown out his Achilles, just had a hard time getting back. He looked awful, awful in Houston earlier this season before they waived him. And so now he'll get a chance with a Clippers team that does need some, you know, need some a little size. I don't think he'll play all that much. I wonder if he'll get an actual look during games, but there's a chance to like come in, you know, show that he has maybe a little more explosiveness than he did early in Houston. Cause I think that's the issue. Like, it's not like Cousins was ever this unbelievable athlete, but at his size, having the quickness he did obviously made him an all-star, right? Like, he was, you know, putting in 25 a game. Like, he was really hard to cover because he was so strong, so big, and had enough quickness. But now there is no boost. And I wonder, like, for a team like the Pelicans giving Isaiah a look with a 10-day, they're not firmly in the playoffs, right? They're hoping to find some kind of spark and everything. I don't see the Clippers really playing around too much and experimenting too much with what Cousins can give them, because this is a team that's like trying to compete for a championship, right? Like, that, like, there's just such a difference in how those two situations maybe lend themselves to seeing these guys on the court.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Clippers, you feel like you have to give them a look just in case anything is there, right? They're going to need every last ounce of talent to achieve their goals this year, which is they want to win a championship. So if you can kick the tires on a guy who in the past has been one of the most talented bigs we ever saw, it's hard to pass that up. I get it. Now, how likely is he to contribute to winning playoff basketball? It seems highly unlikely, or else you wouldn't have been able to sign him. But, you know, they're taking a flyer. There's nothing wrong with it. And their big man rotation isn't exactly lighting the world on fire right now. So I get it. And, you know, I hope DeMarcus can show something. Because I loved his game back when he was right physically. So I don't know. I hope it works.
The part to me that's still promising about him, and even though obviously he's lost the athleticism, he's lost the lift, the passing and the skill, like, that can still help a team.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like you look at, you know, Marc Gasol, how he was with the Raptors. Obviously, Boogie's never been on that level defensively, but it's like that type of passing can change an offense and bring things about an offense to life. And so that's where Boogie, to me, like, could still make a difference for a team. And that's why I think, like it's good to take a flyer on him, even if he's diminished. On top of him being 7 foot and an incredible rebounder with awesome hands and all that. But the passing, to me, is like the skill that still like matters.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Speaking of big men, it's time for a little quick game of fraud or no fraud with the Brooklyn Nets front court. Trey, you want to set this one up? Because this was your idea for the Brooklyn Nets front court. We're going to play fraud or no fraud.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying no fraud right now. For what they have to offer, they don't have to do too much. But, you know, Blake Griffin, it's looking pretty solid. LaMarcus Aldridge, looking pretty solid. Even in their start right now against the Bulls, they're coming off a little warm, man. Especially, you know, Blake and LMA. You know, I think they combined 13, 15 points right now. So, they don't have to do much, man, especially when, you know, the trio is playing at full strength. So I don't know. I mean, the whole washed and, you know, I see that now the small markets have complained about the buyout market and they want things changed.
God. Don't get me started, man. Don't get me.
I kind of want to get you started.
My bad.
I kind of want to get
my
you started.
Bad.
Let's get washed.
I'm just saying.
Why are they always bitching? Oh, my job is so hard. I can't get anybody to sign in Memphis for nothing. It's hard. It's hard living here. I have to eat barbecue all the time. And free agents don't want to sign here in the buyout market. I can't. It's Oklahoma. Shut up. God damn, man. San Antonio let LMA go. They got $7 million for the honor of doing so. But you're bitching about what small markets can or cannot do.
Well, yeah, and then they upgraded with Gorgui Jang.
Come on.
Like, they got him in the buyout market.
Come on. What are we talking about, man?
Well, here's my question, too. Did, like, Utah or Memphis try to sign LaMarcus Aldridge? Like, I'm not saying they could have gotten him, but did they try?
It's only, like, five of them that could claim to be crying about this stuff.
Here's the thing, though. It's called buyout market. They're bought out by their respective teams.
Right.
Bro, they're not welcome.
No, no, Trey, but you don't get it. Now, we don't get to get the 47th pick in the draft for them. Everybody knows they're not going to be here anymore, and they don't want to give us a horrible second-round pick anymore for them. What do we do?
I really like Waz's small market voice. I really do.
It's just stupid, man. They're always crying. They're always crying. If it's not, oh, LeBron did a sign and trade with the Heat so he could get the 6 years rather than the 4 or 5 year. Let's abolish the sign and trade. Then it's like, wait, hold on. We used to get stuff for that. Okay, let's bring it back. They're always so reactionary. These freaking small markets, they're always crying. Meanwhile, the Knicks have been in the biggest city in the world and haven't done shit for 20 years.
Hold
so
on
what
a
are you
second.
Talking about?
Talk about the 5-seed Knicks right now or something like that. The 5 or 6-seed, right? We back,
the big
baby.
15. The big 15.
We'll get to that. Hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, well, all right. So for fraud or no fraud, I'll say the Nets front court is a fraud, but it doesn't matter because they have Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Doesn't like it's not gonna matter. Like, I think their best front court player is Jeff Green. If we're not counting like Kevin Durant. Obviously Kevin Durant's the best player.
It looks like their careers are resurrected on Easter Sunday, man.
I mean, it looks like they played the Bulls.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah. It looks like look, do you guys want to watch Blake Griffin or LaMarcus Aldridge cover people in pick and roll in a playoff setting where people are hunting them?
Like, I think Blake will play in the playoffs. I don't think LaMarcus will play much after like the first
shocking
round.
You yeah. don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is good?
I didn't say that. Say that I said I don't think he's gonna play because he's not good.
That front court is definitely fraudulent, as very, very fraudulent. But like Zach said, I don't think it matters. But the only time it could matter is, like, it's the finals. LeBron is coming at you every possession, orchestrating the offense, hunting Blake Griffin, hunting LaMarcus Aldridge, hunting DeAndre Jordan, hunting basically everyone on the Nets roster. So that's when it could matter. Until then, it doesn't matter. I actually think those guys, like Aldridge and Blake, they're not extreme difference makers at this point, but they're skilled enough and that they could be helpful. So
yeah, and how, you know, nobody thinks to themselves Giannis is just gonna feast on those matchups. No, you don't feel like that. You don't think that he's gonna punish the Nets for their big man rotation. Maybe Philly could. Maybe. But then, you know, your second best player can't shoot jump shots. So,
I mean, Miami.
Bam's going to destroy that front court. Bam's going to average 30.
I'm showing some Miami respect. I had to throw some Miami respect.
No, I hear the condescension in your voice. I hear the sarcasm. I'm not buying this shit, Jay, okay? I'm not falling for it. I'm not. There's no okie doke here that's going to get me. Like, you keep your hating ass out of South Beach, okay? You stay up in the cold.
That was true respect. I did not mean that was not sarcasm.
I don't agree. I'm not buying it. I'm not falling for the old banana in the tailpipe here, okay? It's not going to happen. all right, we got some injuries to get to. Gordon Hayward, the latest Charlotte Hornet to get hurt. He's out for 4 weeks. So now they're out. They're without LaMelo and Gordon for a couple of weeks. Good thing for them, they're the 4 seed right now. Tied with Miami in terms of games back, but they have a slight percentage lead for win percentage. They're the 4 seed. Can they survive the next 3 to 4 weeks without both those guys?
It's gonna be tough
because it's the East, right? Like I thought when LaMelo got hurt, I was like, oh, they're screwed, they're done, and they were fine. Gordon's going to be different.
Look, LaMelo's still a rookie. It's not like he's what made them a great team or a good enough team to make the playoffs. But, you know, what's the competition looking like? Like, you have to think to yourself, Orlando, who was the epitome of mediocrity, stripped down. You know, that's the East. So, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think they won worst, that's what's important.
They'll go to the play-in tournament, right?
Right, right.
They could slip to the play-in tournament. I don't think they're slipping out.
I do think they'll slip to the play-in tournament, though. It's hard for, like, when you lose one guy, then you can kind of survive that. But when you're the Hornets and you lose two of your three best players, that's just a lot to make up for. The production, the passing of both of those guys, the size of both of those guys, you know, like those guys, especially Hayward, do so much. And to lose the two most versatile guys on your roster, it's tough to overcome that. And then the East standings are so bunched up, like, that any team behind them, if they just put together like a 4-game win streak, could pass them, or a 3-game win streak could pass them. So I see them slipping to 7-8 maybe.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. And then you've got to beat out like Indiana or Boston. And I don't know how you trust either of those teams right now. Like, Toronto may be in the mix. They may not be in the mix. Chicago may be in the mix. They may not be in the mix. Like, the biggest threat actually might be the Wizards at some point, just because they have Bradley Beal. I don't think you're sweating. As long as they get those guys back for the play-in tournament, I don't think you're sweating it too much. All right, let's go to our final segment, which is a new game called Say What, in which Reggie Bullock and Julius Randle have said something that is confusing about the Knicks. So as you know, New York media is wont to do, there's some shots being taken at the Nets for some reason in this article from Stephen Bondi of the New York Daily News. The lead of the article is, the Nets Big Three is like those way too expensive Lego sets stored on the top shelf. They're rarely assembled. Kind of clever. I like that a little bit. But
that's a nice little line there.
Yeah, we may see all three of them Monday night when the Knicks and Nets play at Barclays. And so the Knicks are being asked about the Big Three, and we get a response from Reggie Bullock. We got a Big Five. Okay, they don't need a Big Three. We got a Big Five. And then Julius Randle says, no, we got a Big 15.
A Big 15 is crazy. I mean, Charles, you can't leave out the bros.
Right.
You can't leave out the bros.
Like, look, you let the Knicks get to 500 one time, and they just start talking raw.
And they just start saying anything.
I love it. You know?
And the thing is, they're feeling themselves, right? We talked about the parade. they're having parades in front of the Garden because the team was one game under 500 after 35 games, right? So if you're on the team who is receiving that level of adoration for that, You're going to call yourself the Big 15.
Man, can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Look, I know it wouldn't have been the same team, but can you imagine what this would have looked like if KD and Kyrie had chosen the Knicks instead of the Nets?
Zach, it's for the best.
No, it's not. No. It's for someone who analyzes this content every fucking day. I'm telling you, it's not for the best.
I feel like Tom Thibodeau is in the locker room. You know what? Fuck the Big 3. We got the Big 5. We got the Big 15. Fuck the Big 3. Kevin Durant, fuck that. We got Julius Randle. We're going to beat him with defense.
Yo, why have we been podcasting this whole time and Jay has never unleashed his Tom Thibodeau?
Jay Thibodeau.
Oh, my God.
We need more Jay Thibodeau.
Oh, my God.
Listen. Trey is on the ground. He's on the ground. He's seeing it. The mediocrity. Knicks fans are showing their ass right now for pure mediocrity.
No, this could team's good. I'm not rolling with this. This team's good.
If they were actually good?
They are good. Waz, they've been a top defense all season long. That's good.
They hooping on D. They try hard. They execute.
We play together. It doesn't matter. We're not as talented.
It kind of sound like Christian Bale and Batman, too. It's like it's a mix.
I'm not wearing hockey pads. We got Derrick Rose. Fuck Kyrie Irving.
Yo, make sure all this is in the clip.
All of this is in
the clip. Kyrie never won the MVP.
Oh, my God. If we could get an animator to draw Tom Thibodeau saying all this shit.
Oh, my God, yo. Oh man,
but
this is the thing. I love it. Like, you want your team to feel like this. Everybody wants their team to feel like this. Disconnected, this confident, this is what a team should feel like every time, right? You know, talent be damned. Like the mentality that they're bringing to it, it's cool to watch. But the battery that's in these guys' back, it's a bit ridiculous.
Reggie Bullock said, there are 15 players on the roster. With our team that we have, with our leader as coach and our leader with Randall on the court, that's why we're here. We're here to compete. We're here to win games. We know how great we can be. That was one of our goals at the beginning of the year, was to compete against everybody and have fun doing it. We're the Big 15. I love it. Oh my God.
Who's their best young talent? Nick Claxton? We got Kevin Knox, bitch.
You are no longer allowed to not do that voice.
You have to do the rest of your podcasting career.
I'm gonna hit the Athletic up and just say, like, yo, y'all gotta pay. Y'all gotta pay Jay Thibodeau and Jay King. God.
He said, who needs Kyrie? We got Derrick Rose.
like who knew after three pods, after the Rock rolls back, the resurrection of Jay Thibodeau would come out?
He said, who's the best young talent? Nick Claxton? We got Kevin Knox, bitch. Oh man, that's gonna do it. We're not gonna top that. That's going out on a high note. We're not gonna top that. That's the Athletic NBA Show Basketball's edition here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed to the Athletic to get all the best content, all the best coverage of sports on the internet. Plus, you get Jay Thibodeau covering the Celtics in a way no one else can do.
Ice.
Make sure you subscribe to the show, rate, review, do all that stuff that helps the algorithms. Make sure you're checking everything out and retweeting everything on Twitter. Read the articles, leave fun comments, all that stuff. For Trevon Edwards, for Wazzy Lambre, for Jay Thibodeau, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.